This is episode 371 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, February the 13th, 2012.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
This is an exciting day in the history of the NBN.
Copyright.gov is down. FBI.gov is next to go.
The world is in trouble. There is no Wikipedia.
Who here has an iPhone? Who here has a BlackBerry? Who here uses Gmail? Well, you're all screwed.
So we'll be monitoring this very closely. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Copyright is such a big issue. Legislation since 2006 is already outdated by the new technologies.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. This week on the show, surprise, surprise, it's been almost 12 months since the iPad 2 hit the streets. So Apple are about to tell us all about the new iPad 3. What surprises has the Cupertino giant got in store for us this time? Also, those hard drives in our computers are said to be getting a whole lot faster. Microsoft unveils a new look Office, which, by the way, is up to release 15 for those who are counting. Rumours have it this week that Google is looking to buy some mobile phone spectrum in Australia, and a would-be tech thief with a conscience turns himself into Australian authorities for all the right reasons. They're just some of the things coming up for discussion tonight on Tech Talk Radio. First up, as per usual, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, the AFL and NRL lodge an appeal in the federal court against the Optus TV Now decision, and the Prime Minister flags pending changes to copyright legislation. Gadget manufacturer Foxconn is under increasing pressure from consumer groups and activists. Telstra says new mobile services continue to rise, but fixed-line home phones are steadily declining. And Google begins testing a mystery device. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The AFL and NRL, along with Telstra, filed a joint appeal in the federal court on Friday after Optus won legal protection for its TV Now service. The Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, says she's also considering legislative changes which would prevent Optus from streaming sports coverage online. TV Now is an online catch-up service which allows customers to record and play back free-to-air television, including AFL and NRL games, on smartphones and laptop computers. While Telstra has the exclusive online broadcast rights for both AFL and NRL football, Federal Court Justice Stephen Rares ruled 2 weeks ago that Optus was not in breach of the Copyright Act by allowing subscribers to stream the broadcast near live, just 2 minutes after it had gone to air. Sporting Codes say the decision places sponsorship deals in extreme jeopardy, and the NRL, the AFL, and the heads of Tennis and Cricket Australia are lobbying the government to make changes to the Copyright Act. The head of the AFL, Mr. Andrew Demetriou, said he was very concerned by the federal court decision.
This is a furphy. This nonsense that Optus are peddling that says that this is a win for the consumer is complete garbage. It is unacceptable for someone to come along like Optus and then, through their own technology, copy off our free-to-air broadcasters, telecast, without making sure that they contribute to the content providers, which are the AFL.
The Communications Minister, Senator Stephen Conroy, says the government is trying to find a happy medium.
We'll be going through a process to ensure that if any change is to be made, that we would consider any adverse consequences. But at this stage, we are just getting the legal advice fully explained to us, and we're happy to consider if a solution is available.
Consumer rights groups like Choice and Electronic Frontiers Australia are warning that any such legislative changes may shift rights from consumers back to private companies. Telstra paid $153 million last year for exclusive rights to stream AFL matches on the internet for the next 5 seasons. The appeal in the federal court has been scheduled for the 18th of April. To other news this week, the world's largest gadget manufacturer, Foxconn Technology Group, has been hacked by activists wanting to draw attention to poor working conditions in Chinese factories. Foxconn is used by industry heavyweights like IBM, Dell, Sony, Nintendo, and HP, but it's Apple that's drawn the ire of activist group Swag Security. Highly sensitive data containing employee details and usernames and passwords was leaked online last week, while on Friday morning, protesters delivered a wheelbarrow containing a petition to the Sydney Apple Store signed by 250,000 people. The Age Digital Life reported that similar petitions were delivered to other Apple stores in Washington, D.C., New York, San Francisco, London, and Bangalore. One protester said the petition called on Apple to address workers' rights in its factories in China. In a statement, Apple said, "We insist that our suppliers provide safe working conditions, treat workers with dignity and respect, and use environmentally responsible manufacturing processes wherever Apple products are made." In January this year, around 150 workers at Foxconn threatened to commit suicide by leaping from a factory roof in protest at their working conditions. The workers were eventually coaxed down after a two-day standoff. In 2010, 18 workers threw themselves from rooftops of Foxconn buildings, resulting in 14 deaths. Telstra last week reported a revenue increase of 1.1% or $136 million to over $12 billion for the 6 months to the 31st of December last year. This is compared with the same period in 2010. Telstra said it added almost 1 million domestic mobile services in this time, driving mobile revenue growth of 10.9% to over $4 billion. Fixed broadband numbers also grew, but fixed line voice or PSTN revenues declined by 9%, attributed to a new decline in PSTN services of around 136,000. Local call revenue fell by 21% and national long distance revenue declined by nearly 14%. And Google has something up its sleeve, but no one seems to be quite sure exactly what it is. The search giant has applied for an experimental license with the United States Federal Communications Commission to test an unnamed prototype entertainment device in its employees' homes. The company says the device will connect to home electronics through wireless internet and Bluetooth. Speculation suggests the device could be a Google television or even a smart house system to control lights and power from Android smartphones. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, what does this button do? Hello, everybody.
This is exciting, isn't it?
Anyway, it's good to be back in your ears on the radio.
I got a remote control tarantula.
Ugh.
That was awesome.
Oh, well, that was inferred. You read into that beautifully.
Did I say that out loud?
You did.
Damn. Stop talking to myself while the microphone.
Tonight's edition of Tech Talk Radio is powered by Cake.
She might be another one of these fanboy girl things.
The sky is falling, according to the business writers, and Optus has snaffled free footy.
No, I had a Rubik's Cube. I pulled all the stickers off.
Not even something as basic as SMTP email.
And why do you have to change the phone number?
That's a good question, Dr. Ron. Why?
I don't know. I don't want to change my phone number.
Does your mother listen to the show, by chance?
No.
Which is patently absurd.
It is absurd. Exactly right.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. We're the panel minus one this evening. Dr. Ron, is everything okay over there?
Everything's looking good. Everything's A-okay.
All systems recording.
All systems go.
You're in the squeaky seat.
I am in the squeaky seat. I'm the squeaky one tonight. Where's Lena?
Well, she bought a house, as you know, some time ago. Settlement was last week, so
she got the keys.
She's in. They let her in.
We should be doing Tech Talk Radio from her new radio studio room.
Nonsense. We should be watching good movies in her home theatre room.
She's got every room that there is in the world in that house.
Yes, and more.
She's got a pool room and an office and a theatre room and a radio studio room.
It's a castle, really.
It is a castle.
Overlooks a cemetery too, so it'd be good Halloween night things there. Maybe we should do a OB there on Halloween night from the cemetery.
Halloween OB from Lena's house.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Well, if she's not here to, you know, defend herself, then we're going to come up with all these crazy schemes and we're going to do them.
Anyway, interesting week. Oh, by the way, happy World Radio Day today.
Happy World Radio Day, isn't it?
Happy World Radio Day today.
Yes.
This is Monday, the 13th of February. And, yes, have you heard about this? I came across it the other day, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. And all the big stations today were talking about World Radio Day, because I had a lovely half hour on the ABC, which was all good and fine. And we talked about it there as well.
So there was some discussion about it on your radio spot today, was
there? Yeah, there was.
Ah.
But in essence, it's to commemorate an easy form of communications between people or amongst people. So, you know, broadcasters can actually reach people in faraway areas. It's just one of the best forms of communications we've had for the past millennium, I guess.
And it'll be around for millennia yet, I dare say.
Oh, absolutely. In one form or another, digital or analogue.
Absolutely. WorldRadioDay.org. There's more information about it there at that website.
Correct. So what do you remember most about... Did you ever have a great moment in radio that you remember hearing an event or something like that on Dr.
A great moment in radio... That's an interesting question.
You know, an occasion maybe when something happened globally and you were gripped to the radio because you were a fair way away from it?
I'm not sure. Well, I think for me, all the big events in world, in current events, in world events, it's the radio where you hear it first normally. Where you don't normally hear about things first by television or in the newspapers. The first place you almost always hear about things is on the radio. You hear it on your clock radio.
Well, it's so
in
easy,
the morning,
isn't it?
Before you get up. You hear it in the car while you're driving around. I remember hearing things like on the clock radio in the morning. I remember hearing things like the shuttle explosion. The space shuttle explosion, however many years ago that was, the death of the Princess of Wales.
A lot of moments like that that you wake up and you go, oh, my goodness.
The America's Cup.
Oh, yeah.
When Australia won
That's right, yes.
Hearing that, I think we were listening to that in the radio in the car when we were driving to work or to school or whatever it was then.
That's right. Didn't you take the day off, like Bob Hawke said?
Well, I think it was too late. I think we were already on the way by the time we won.
Ah, so you shouldn't turn the radio on earlier.
But I think all those events that happen, quite often the first place you hear about them, and things like when there's a major natural disaster or man-made disaster or whatever, the events like Black Saturday a couple of years ago. It's the radio that you sit glued to get the absolute latest.
Everyone can bung some double A's in the tranny and race off with a small portable radio. In fact, that's what everyone, all the emergency services recommend you have in your kit.
Absolutely, yeah, yep.
And you should have one in the back of the four-wheel drive if you're going up the bush and all those sorts of things. So I was thinking back today about some of the great things in radio for me, and I reckon it's been the music. Because I grew up in an era of music where it was before MP3 downloads, it was before streaming,
now
it was before the internet.
You're just a tiny little bit older than me, and...
How do you know?
I hear this. I believe this. And the receding hairline bears testament.
I know. That's just the work I'm in.
But I think you were probably a teenager, a young teenager, when FM radio was getting started. When
92.3 Eon FM.
Eon FM and Fox FM.
Yeah, they were the first two commercial stations in Melbourne and today in Sydney.
People who were just a little bit older than you would have been listening to 3XY and those sorts of stations.
Yeah, Rick Stone.
We're talking very Melbourne at the moment. I'm sorry to people interstate. I don't know what the interstate equivalents are of these stations, but Eon FM was where everybody went to listen when FM radio first started. And I can remember that, and they later became Triple M, which is now the national sort of Triple M network.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah.
But I think music was really, well, that's how we were introduced to music back then, you know, with Countdown and all those things on the television. The equivalent on the radio was a lot of those great evening radio shows with those, you know, Countdown-y sort of things where, you know.
Yeah, the top 10 and all those sorts of things, yeah.
And I just think that was the day where radio was really in its romantic phase, I guess, where everyone would say, oh, I like that album. Did you hear that on the radio the other night? And
you used to make mixtapes. You'd have a blank cassette.
That's right.
You ready to go.
And when your favourite songs off the radio.
When your favourite song came on, you used to hit record play simultaneously.
And you wish the jock wouldn't speak over the top
of it. That's
right.
Stop talking.
Stop talking.
This is a good song. Yeah. And of course, the radio stations were being pressured by the record companies to talk over the top of it.
Talk
so you couldn't
all
do it.
The way up to the lyrics.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that were the good old days, weren't they? So radio's got a lot. And don't forget, we also should look at other aspects of radio too, the developments of it way, way back in... the early years when I think there was just AM transmitters, the ABC or the government back then, which had local transmitters, those big massive things on very low frequencies. They built those and got mm-hmm. them going. Even amateur radio operators to a degree too. They provided AM broadcast coverages in local areas. It's all changed now. They don't do that now. But back in the 30s and 40s and things like that, it was a completely different thing with radio. And today, look at what we've got. Internet radio, digital radio, analog radio. Where is it going to stop? Satellite radio? All that sort of stuff.
Satellite radio, yep. Yep, streaming, DAB and DAB Plus, the new radio standards.
Yep.
The good thing with radio is that you can just have it on. You can be doing other stuff. It doesn't require 100% concentration. So you can be driving a car. You can be outside gardening. You can be riding a bike, doing whatever you want to do, and you can have the radio on. On a train, on a plane.
Oh, here we go.
Mowing a lawn in a plane.
It's Charlie pressing, really, isn't it?
Unlike television, where it's occupying a lot more concentration, a lot more brain power.
Oh, not these days. Have you watched much television
lately?
No,
I haven't. I'm watching less and less free-to-air television. It's just atrocious.
Channel 9 had another one of those fat shows on the other day, you know, lose all this kilo, biggest loser type sort of thing. It lasted a couple of eps, and that was the end of it. So I think, hello, commercial television, wake up. No one wants to watch this anymore.
No.
So, anyway, as opposed to radio, some good stuff on radio. Dial around, on the internet, community radio, everything, all sorts of stuff.
Podcasts?
Yeah, well, there's another form of radio. It's delayed radio.
Is this Tech Talk Radio or Radio Tech Talk?
Well, this is whatever you like.
Radio Tech Talk,
This is what's being asked in the in the chat.
Speaking of the chat, look at all those people there. Hello, come along and join us at chat.techtalkradio.com.au. That's where we hang out when the show is live to air on Monday nights. If not, if you're listening to us delayed, the forum is a great place, which apparently now works.
Forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
Yeah.
Of course it works.
And if people can log in and register, or is it still a manual update?
No, of course. It's all good.
Good.
You can log in, register, read posts. You can post posts.
What's the spam to regular credible user ratio at the moment?
About 50 or 60 to 1, I guess.
Oh, good. So it's up there.
I'm getting good at it, though.
Are you?
Yeah, I just scan down the usernames. I go, spammer, 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 check, 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 check. Oh, that looks like a real person. Look at the email address.
Do you slip? You haven't gone, oops, didn't mean
not
to delete that,
that I'm
one.
Aware of. If I have, I apologise profusely.
Just re-register whoever you are.
No, but there's been a few legitimate ones come through, and they're quite simple to tell from the spammers. That's
fantastic.
For sure.
Excellent. Well, speaking of spam, a lot of courier coming in this week, which means it's time for...
Your say on Tech Talk Radio.
Come and have your say on Tech Talk Radio. The best way to...
I
know. It's it's not so automated that you can't... You can avoid pushing buttons. You still have to push the buttons.
Yeah. Yes. It's the red one I need to push, not the green one.
Which pill do you have? The red pill or the blue pill?
Coro, Dr. Ron?
Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au. Freak via the forum says, hi, guys.
Hi, Freak.
Welcome back. Just listening to your first show of the year, and the discussion of ROMs came up for Android.
Ron?
No, ROMs.
Oh, ROMs.
R-O-M.
Oh, that's right. We had a roming session.
We did have a roming session. I have an HTC Desire HD, and I'm fed up...
Congratulations.
...with the phone companies delaying the operating system updates for whatever reason. I've had my phone for over a year, and in tech terms, it's quite old now. This is the problem we were faced with too, Freak. To keep it fresh, I rooted it, which means... You access
it's the equivalent of jailbreaking an iPhone.
Access the operating system at a root level, which is quite a simple process as long as you follow the instructions exactly, and I installed a custom ROM.
Hey, well done.
Well done. I've used RC Mix 3D's Runnymede ROM version 4.0, which gives me access to HTC Sense 3.5 and Android 2.3.5. Well, Freak, we all went up to a flavor of Android 2.3. Point something. I think we went 2.3.7 with ours. I also overclocked my phone slightly to allow it to run smoother. Overclocking is where you increase the processor speed or push the processor speed a bit faster than it's intended. I found installing a custom ROM makes it feel like a brand new phone and worth the two-year contract it's under. The Runnymede ROM is no longer being developed for my phone now as the developers have upgraded their phones, but I don't mind. I've got plenty of life left in my phone, and once my contract is up, I will get the latest, best device, and after a while, I will root it and upgrade the ROM once again. If you're going to put a custom ROM on your phone, just be prepared for some things to not work with the early versions of the ROMs. The developers of these ROMs run into the same issues as any other developer, and have to constantly tweak their ROMs to get them perfect. When I first upgraded the ROM, my Bluetooth didn't work, Yeah, you'd need Bluetooth working, wouldn't you?
Well, the one we're running at the moment, my Bluetooth's never worked as well as it hasn't ever since I've had the device.
Mine's working well. Yeah. But after a version or two, says Freak, they finally fixed up all the issues. And now everything works perfectly, except for panorama mode in my standard camera application. But I don't mind, as I've downloaded the specific panorama app. I love the openness of Android and the way people have made it even better with their own enhancements. Cheers, Tristan.
That's good, isn't it? It is an open system. I must admit, well, I had a question on the radio today on ABC Radio about Android. And yeah, it is. It comes down to the fact that anyone can develop for it. There are risks with that, obviously, and that is that some unscrupulous people can write things that shouldn't be written. But nonetheless, that's the joys of an open platform, and you should always get your apps from a known and trusted source.
But you can evaluate the integrity of the ROM before you download it. Look at all the comments on the forums. Look at what people are saying. See how many people have tried it.
We haven't gone back since we changed our ROMs, have we?
That's right, and it's a good point about reading about the ROMs before you decide which one to install, because we all had very smooth and easy experiences with ours. Like you say, the Bluetooth works beautifully. Everything just worked very well with ours because we chose a very mature ROM that had been through all the early problems and become a mature, smooth, well-rounded product. Whereas obviously the correspondent here is name I've forgotten on
Freak
chose obviously a ROM that was early in its development cycle, but the advantage you get from that is that you're likely to get much newer features. You're likely to see the new things earlier than you do if you wait to for a ROM to become more mature.
Well, the great thing about the one we did was it blew away all the memory-hungry, telco-installed clutter on the phones and freed everything else up so that everything else worked perfectly.
Absolutely, and blew away some of the HT, because there was both Telstra glut and HTC glut on our phones, and it's all gone and been replaced with something a whole lot smoother and more integrated. Yeah,
so if you're 12 months into a contract and you're getting a bit frustrated with things, have a go, if you're that way inclined. If not, ask your local 12-year-old.
It can be like any a whole new phone.
It can. It is. It was. Dr. Ron?
Another ROMing success story, Gareth, via the feedback form.
What have
says,
we started?
Oh, here we go.
I know. Hi, Tech Talk crew. I wanted to give you a bit of feedback from last week's show. After following the boys' tweets about rooting the HTC Desire phones and listening to you discuss it on last Monday's show, I explained to my wife, who has an HTC Desire, what you had done and the results. She had recently been complaining that it was freezing and crashing and was sluggish, as it still has 6 months left on the contract.
Who, the wife or the phone?
He doesn't say. And a new phone is out of the question. Oh, probably the phone.
Oh, the phone.
So she agreed to let me install a new ROM. Sunday afternoon was spent with a couple of beers, (4).
That's the way to do
the
it.
The instructions on the OzMod website are excellent. Graham, thanks for the recommendation. Successfully installed the T-Mod Express ROM, as Graham recommended. No problems at all. Nearly two-year-old HTC Desire now runs like a brand new phone. In fact, in my opinion, better than the day we bought it.
Yeah. That's exactly what our experience was.
Now, if Lena, who's not here to defend herself, could point me to a ROM that will make my a little over two-year-old iPhone 3G run like new again, we would be winning all round. Cheers, Gareth. What's that, Lena? I can't hear you.
Silence.
I'm surprised we can't hear her from here.
Maybe we will in a moment. And last but certainly not least, Phil via the feedback form says, "Hi team, just wanted to drop a quick note of good luck for the new series of Tech Talk Radio." Thanks, Phil. We'll be looking out for the podcast with great excitement to hear the new opener jingle.
Oh.
Is there a new opener?
Well, there is.
Oh.
Does that out my anorak credentials? Phil asks. Still catching up with the summer (winter) series. I spotted Dr. Ron up to his old tricks of slipping in a 2010 episode to confuse us. Phil with several inches of snow in the United Kingdom.
Phil's in the UK,
Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
We've heard from him several times in the past.
That's good. He must be snowed in by now.
He's often in the chat room too. He's just not there at the moment.
Yeah.
It's probably
fairly nippy in the UK.
The snow's reached the telephone lead-ins and he's off the air, I guess.
In the UK at the moment, they have really good television on air because they're all inbound. They can't get out. They're snowbound in their houses.
The UK are really well served for good television.
Oh, I was watching this morning at about in our time at 8 o'clock. 8:30 is there. 8:30 over there, sort of thing. And Top Gear was on. Oh, you've got to watch Top Gear, the new series.
I love Top Gear
on BBC Two. Oh, it was good. You're so lucky, Phil.
I can't stand car nuts, but I love Top Gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Ming in our chat room says, if it took four whole beers to install a custom ROM, Must be a noob. And Warlock says,
"Now, hang on, I'll leap to the defence here, because when I did the first time I did it with mine, I was so nervous. I can
concentrate.
I can understand why the beers would be a help to get
settle the nerves. You reckon?
Yeah,
they could go either
Waiting
way.
Waiting for that first reboot is really nerve wracking.
And Warlock says he prefers Dr. Rom.
Warlock.
Whatever we're paying you, it's too much. That's all the feedback for this week, Andrew. But if you have feedback, send it through to the email. You can post it on the forum, or you can fill out our special contact form. We've got lots more, actually. There's more from regular contributor GJ and others, but we'll hold that over till next week, Andrew.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Well, despite your claims of being a relatively slow news week, Dr. Rong, there were a few tidbits of information that came out of the sub-ether during the course of the week.
It was a struggle, though, putting the news together.
Yeah, it was, I could imagine. Anyway, in news this week, it's coming up to April, which is the time that we get a new incarnation of the iPad and Apple.
Hang on a minute. It's only the middle of February.
Correct. And it normally is the announcement date, followed by about a four-week lead, and then we see the iPad. And this is no exception this year. Apple have got a shindig coming up in San Francisco to announce the new iPad 3. They haven't really given any secrets away yet to find out what we're going to see that's any different. But let's just suggest so that it'll be faster, bigger, better, smaller.
Yeah, prophesizing and speculating.
Yeah.
And it's all complete nonsense. We don't know anything. We don't know anything about the iPad 3 whatsoever.
That's the way
if in fact there will be an iPad 3.
Oh, no, there will.
You reckon there will?
Absolutely.
There
Absolutely.
Might be an iPad 2S.
No, I don't think so. Sources say the company has chosen the first week in March to debut the successor to the iPad 2 and will do so at one of its trademark special events. The event, which will be held in San Francisco, presumably at the Yerba... I can't pronounce that. At a lovely Center for the Arts in San Francisco, is the preferred location for the big announcements like these. No words yet on the street for the date of the iPad, but traditionally it comes out around about a month after that, which puts it right slap bang in the middle of April, which is when I bought mine and when it came out last year as well. So there you go.
I don't have a tablet yet of any kind.
Neither has Ron. Why do you laugh?
I'm not laughing.
You were.
It's not a laughing matter.
You were chuckling to yourself there.
The joke being, of course, that he bought one of those Kogan ones that looks like a tablet.
It looks like a tablet. Yeah, it purports to be a tablet, but it's sadly wanting in several areas.
Really?
Yeah.
Sadly wanting what?
It's sadly wanting a real operating system.
It would be better if it worked, I think is what you're trying to say.
Yes, it would. It would.
Oh, okay. It's come to that, has it?
Well, yeah, it has. It has. I blogged about it, the Kogan tablet. I need to get like a Samsung Galaxy Tab, I think.
Really?
Yeah. If you want to like dip your toe in the water and you've got a budget of a couple of $100s and you're aware of what the limitations are, then sure, go and grab it and have a look. But if you're a serious IT person, you're an IT professional or a serious gadget person and you want a device
or
that works.
If you're any type of if you're planning to use it, if you're using it because you rely on being in touch with your email or rely on being in touch with, your office through it.
Don't buy one.
You're better off. Yeah, you need to spend a bit more money than that.
Yep.
To get something that actually is going to perform for you.
Yep. The old adage, "You get what you pay for," is very true,
especially with technology. Really, isn't it?
Especially with technology. Yep. This thing is pretty buggy. It crashes quite a lot. It just spontaneously reboots for no reason. It's very slow. It's sluggish. Yeah. Avoid. I would
Speaking
say.
Of slow and sluggish.
Mm.
Hard drives have traditionally been the slow point in today's modern computing.
It's because they've got physical parts that move.
They do. Magnetic-based spinning wheels and heads that, things at
not
very fast speeds.
Not too much stuff mechanically that moves in a computer. The two things that come to mind are hard disks, if you have not solid-state hard disks, if you have traditional hard disks, and also the cooling fans.
There's one other moving part with a computer that causes almost all the computer problems that we experience these days.
Can I have a guess?
Fingers?
Yeah.
The power switch?
No.
No.
The user.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Fingers.
Yeah.
See, I got it.
Yes.
Anyway, so these new...
Problem exists between chair and keyboard, is that right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Hard drives, there's a new heat-only method of writing data on hard disks, which could speed up information... recording times by 1,000 times. So we're looking like we're going to be ditching, this is according to some British scientists that have developed this new technology, and instead of using the old magnetic way of writing to discs, we're going to use heat. So this is going to be an interesting new sojourn.
What is it in my brain that's saying that this doesn't sound like it's a really good idea?
Because computers get very hot. The temperature varies.
Well, maybe
the faster the disc, the hotter it's going to get.
Well, the York University method builds on heat-assisted magnetic recording, otherwise known as HAMR. H-A-M-R. That's the acronym.
HAMR, yeah.
Stop.
HAMR time.
Oh, sorry. anyway, this new technology is currently being developed by the likes of Fujitsu and Seagate, so we might see them in those drives very shortly. In traditional hard drives, as you mentioned, data is recorded by write heads that use strong magnetic localized fields to affect the motion of electrons and thus the magnetic state in an area of film. Yeah, the thing I always like about the traditional hard drives, you pick them up when they're on and you can't hold them still. Have you noticed that?
No, you can hold them. You can't turn them. Yeah.
Is that what it is? You can't turn them.
It's a gyroscope effect. Yeah.
It's a really weird sensation.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. You sit there with old drives and go, "Whey." You don't need four beers for that,
do
you?
I need to get out more.
I do. And they do get rather hot.
You never had a spinning top as a kid.
No, that's right.
I was deprived as a child.
Apparently.
Hey.
Now, we had on Tech Talk Radio 18 months ago, was it? Or a little bit longer? Was it Dr. James Chong from Swinburne University? He was doing research with hard disks. And he was researching ways that you could...
He was doing research with
digital versatile discs, that's right. And you could...
Well, not DVDs as such, but new forms of optical media to replace DVDs with something higher capacity, yeah.
That's right. I think from memory he was writing information in four dimensions. He said there's three dimensions of space, and they're also writing information with colour as well.
Yeah, well, he was talking, additional dimensions like, colour or possibly polarisation.
That's
and
right.
Polarisation as another differentiator between the sun, you know, to have multiple data sets of information recorded in the same physical space. Mm. Yeah,
light. The colour spectrum was being used, wasn't it?
Yeah,
very interesting. Anyway, that's good.
This sort of stuff's evolving and being developed all the time, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct. It's quite exciting where storage is going to go. That's another thing we talked about on the radio today. Is this cloud computing just a catch to get you in, or is it going to become free and cheaper? And I said, oh, no, it's very cheap to get into cloud computing. I can't see anyone putting prices on it to actually subscribe to it, not unless they offer you non-sort of hard disk-related things like automatic service-level agreements and things like that.
I think businesses will pay money for service-level agreements.
Sorry, Graham?
I said yawn.
Yawn, yes. Yawn.
Sorry. Cloud computing. It's a word that means stuff that we've always been doing and always will do.
Gmail's been at it for ages, haven't they? Put your emails in the cloud.
I just want to say, it's always been...
Yeah. All right. In other news, Europe at the moment, they've got cheap holidays, but that's beside the point. The Greeks...
So is Greece.
Well, I wouldn't go to Greece, though.
That's what I mean.
Greece has got cheap holidays.
Yeah. If your hotel's still standing or it hasn't been torched with a Molotov or something at the moment. Anyway, hackers have hit the Greek ministry website, would you believe? Associated with the Anonymous Collective, posted a protest against Greece's EU and IMF-inspired austerity policies. As a result, they took to the website about it because, you know, they can't throw stones, they'll throw DDoS attacks at things. See, it's even reaching into the realms of cyberspace, really, these protests in Greece at the moment.
Greece is in so... Oh, it's a rundown. Look, do you want a rundown, Graham?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Nice. Greece is in so much trouble, aren't they?
I put them there for a reason, and you just realise that they're there.
Point one, music. Yes, intro. Chat. Coro. Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're up to about. Oh, I need to catch up.
I've just jumped down to the last bit there.
Oh, hackers hit Greek ministry website. That's like it. What you were saying about 30 seconds ago.
Correct.
They're in a lot of trouble, aren't they?
They
don't have many options.
So are we.
Today they announced that, like, this depends on when you're listening, obviously, but today they announced that. I think they decided to run with the austerity measures.
Yeah, the devil you know as opposed to the devil you don't
know. They're going to drop the minimum wage, and they're going to have unemployment up to 8% or 10% or 20% or something. But it's all the only alternative is to bankrupt themselves, and
You wouldn't want to go there.
You wouldn't want to go there. You don't want to go anywhere, but yeah, bankrupting the entire country, that's just disastrous. Anyway,
it's interesting watching the Australian dollar too at the moment. It's up and down. Very, very tied to what goes on in Europe at the moment. If Europe looks like it's going to fall over, down goes the dollar.
Well, we went up a bit today, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, after they started lobbing cocktails, up went the dollar.
Right. Right.
Ah, it's great, isn't it? What's the world come to? Speaking of quality stuff, Adam Turner has a view from the couch, and he's talking about the quality of media. Have you got any opinions on quality of media? I mean, as in Blu-rays and downloads and stuff like that.
Oh, that sort of media.
Yeah, not the content, but the quality of the technical quality, the resolution.
The physical stuff that you write to.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe we should hear the couch and we'll come back and we'll discuss it after this.
Let's do that.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
I hate to ask the question, but is quality passé? Watching the trends in online content, it seems physical media will die, not due to production and retail costs, but simply because we care more about convenience than quality. For most people, it seems near enough is good enough when it comes to sound and picture quality. I'm amazed at how many people think the Blu-ray is dead because you can download HD movies from iTunes. The same goes for CDs, with people favouring digital downloads. Now, I'll concede that most people can't tell the difference between a 256 kilobit per second AAC rip and the original CD, even if they're listening via decent speakers. But it doesn't take a video file to see the difference between Blu-ray and an iTunes HD download on a decent television, particularly with the horrid black crush in some online content which sees all the darker shades of grey turn into black so you lose all the details in the shadows. The PlayStation and Xbox rental services look even worse, with horrific compression artifacts which make some scenes look like a patchwork quilt. Now, part of the problem is that many cheap and nasty LCD televisions suffer from the same black crush problem. So if you're satisfied with a terrible television, you probably won't be able to see the difference between a good picture and a bad one anyway. As for music, most people don't listen with decent speakers or headphones, so they wouldn't appreciate better sound quality anyway. Few people seem to care about the impact of squeezing content into mobile devices or stretching it across the internet. I'm even guilty of this at times. Quality becomes even less important when you don't own the content, which is the way of the future. We'll eventually look back on the idea of owning music the same way we look back on the idea of owning a cow for the milk. The commoditization of content means we no longer appreciate its value and so no longer treat it with respect. Despite all this, there's still plenty of life left in optical discs. Online content isn't even on the radar for your average Australian who is still negotiating the transition to digital broadcasts and a widescreen TV. When I say average Australian, I don't mean your average latte-sipping, MacBook-wielding, metrosexual digital hipster. Yes, I look forward to your angry letters. I mean your average person on the street. Stand outside your nearest supermarket and ask the first 10 people who walk past, when was the last time they watched iView or hired a movie online? Most will look at you like you're from another planet. But this will change over the next 5 to 10 years. Once the unwashed masses get a taste of NBN-style broadband access, the optical disc will be living on borrowed time. Urban digital hipsters will tell you on Twitter that the optical disc is already dead, but they're jumping the gun. I still think it will take a generation to die away, as quality files cling to their optical discs as they do their vinyl collection.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
What do you reckon? Valid points?
Yeah, it is a trade-off of convenience versus quality. Yeah, yeah, optical discs take up a lot of space. They're a liability. You've got to have someone to put them all.
You reckon?
Yeah, you can have, you know, 500 discs on a hard disk. And the hard disk is quite small, but if you've actually got the media...
It's all to do with data rate, really, isn't it? You've got to have good data rate, otherwise you lose your quality. But I think Adam's very much on the money there. People in music these days...
I think technology's got a long way to go still, and that as we move further on into the future, that we will start to get both quality and convenience, and it'll become less of an argument.
One can hope. But I'd like to apologise. Actually, I don't want to apologise. I just like
to
say...
What, to all the latte-sipping hipsters?
These people.
I don't mean your average latte-sipping, MacBook-wielding, metrosexual digital hipster.
I don't know where he got that from and the unwashed masses, but nonetheless.
He had a bad day when he wrote that couch.
Did he?
Maybe.
Maybe. So, but yes, I think he's right. If there are people out there that do like the quality, and I think that's why a lot of torrenting still occurs... But yeah, downloading stuff off some of the movie rental libraries, because it's in their interest to keep bandwidth to a minimum, because then they don't have to pump it up to everybody using copious amounts of that stuff, which is still relatively pricey in Australia. Would you agree?
To a degree at the moment. I think that as I said that before, the technology's still got a little way to go.
Mm.
We saw that, we had 128K MP3s being sold for a long time online, and now we find that we're getting much better quality, although it's still compressed, we're getting much better quality music. And in fact, some music that you buy online is now available in lossless compression, so...
But what about movies? That's the thing.
Well, issue is that the technology isn't there yet.
Well, Dr. Ron made a good sort of comparison, I guess, before with technology. You get what you pay for. You buy cheap stuff and you get cheap things. The same with screens and panels.
Yeah, but that's also a furphy.
I don't think so.
It's still developing technology.
Oh, maybe.
We've come from DVDs, now we've got Blu-rays. Now the Blu-rays, we've got the soundtracks so encoded in lossless compression. On Blu-rays now, so we don't have any of that lossy compression in the sound. At some point in the future, physical media might go out the window, but it doesn't mean we're going to lose the quality. Once we've got the NBN or we're having stuff delivered to our home over fibre to watch movies out of a server, it's going to be no problem to deliver quality video.
Don't you think people will be able to notice the difference between a Blu-ray on a $500 panel and a $2,000 panel?
Yeah, but a $2,000 panel today in 3 years' time will be a $500 panel. As I say, the technology is developing all the time.
Mm. All right.
The cheap and nasty panels, the cheap and nasty content.
There'll be a $50 panel.
Well, it's... they'll always be the cheap and nasty, but the quality goes up. I mean,
the NBN's going to really, as Adam said, really put a cat amongst the pigeons, and we'll start seeing really good quality stuff being delivered. And then the age-old problem of you'll want to consume more, so your bandwidth requirements will increase.
Yep.
But that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? Anyway... You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Dr. Ron's in this evening. Graham's in this evening. Lena has had a better offer this evening. She's moving house. I know where I'd rather be. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more after this.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Adobe's going to stop doing Flash. That's pretty good. What links would you go to watch free-to-air television?
Not me.
I was at GCAP, which is the Game Connect Asia Pacific conference.
I told you it was GC something.
It's exciting times, isn't it?
The ACCC doesn't do anything either, to be fair.
And Andrew's just grimaced because he's one of those web designers that thinks that he should have control over everything about the way a website looks.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just in case you missed something, want to hear a discussion again, or even if you wanted to indulge in the Tech Talk Radio extended mix, then subscribe to the Tech Talk Radio podcast. You'll find a link on the website, techtalkradio.com.au, or subscribe on iTunes. You can also have a repeat of the current show streamed live to your device by visiting stitcher.com or by visiting the Tech Talk Radio small screen site, m.techtalkradio.com.au. Tech Talk Radio, it's everywhere you need it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Dr. Ron, how come you put in the promo the bit where I'm having a go at the executive producer and make me grimace every time?
I know. You accuse Andrew of grimacing, and you grimace when you
yes, every time I hear that now.
It's all right.
Andrew stares.
I know where you live.
Daggers at you.
I know you do. That's why I'm worried.
You know the rules.
Well, folks, I won't be on this show much longer.
Always treat every microphone as if it's live. Yes. And every camera as if it's rolling.
Yes.
Is that the rules? Really? Oh, good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Hey, Microsoft have given a bit of a sneak peek into Office 15, if you're counting.
Office 15, what are we up to now? We were on 2010. I think I'm using 2010 at home.
Are
is
you?
That the current
Well, this
release
is the next one. I don't know what it's called. Probably 2012.
Office 2012,
I guess, will be what it is.
Okay.
Anyway, a new look for all the favourites that you've used to. So basically what they've done is it's the same thing. They've just moved the buttons all around, so you've got to find them again.
Again!
Yeah, but the spells checker's still there. Excel still counts. Not much new, I wouldn't have thought. Maybe a bit of cloud-based sort of stuff. Really, what more can you do to a package like that?
There's only so much you can do with a word processor, and only so much you can do with a spreadsheet.
Obviously,
don't tell Microsoft, no.
Obviously, it'll work well with the new Metro look.
Yes, which is the new operating system.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's the bit that Adam's talking about, this bit.
You'll be able to swish your cells around the spreadsheet. That's exciting. That's
very well, good.
We've got that to look forward to.
Yeah, they wouldn't use that anyway. Although there is an Office, a Mac Office version coming out too. So it's all bundled together.
A Microsoft Office for Mac, is there?
Yeah, there is. There's a 2011 version out.
Okay, I don't know these things. I'm not a Mac person.
How do you get out of this industry? I'm going to go and learn to drive trams or something.
Yeah, speak to Andy B.
Andy B, he's on the chat. He'll be able to help you there. I saw Blu-ray being spelt in the chat too with an E before.
Newbie asked an interesting question before in the chat room. Yeah, Newbie wanted to know if any of us here had a Blu-ray recorder in our PCs, or asked who's got a Blu-ray recorder.
It's yeah, I have.
Question, you yeah. have in your PC at home?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't you?
No. How much does...
Have you even got a Blu-ray reader in a PC?
I probably don't, no.
No, I know, because I tried to give you some content on Blu-ray. I asked you a while back if you had one, and you said no, so I couldn't...
That's right.
I couldn't use my writer, it's useless.
I said, what do you want me to do with this? Stick it in the PlayStation.
Yeah, I wanted to burn a whole heap of files for Blu-ray, and it wasn't going to work.
What's a Blu-ray blank worth?
$2? A couple of dollars, yeah, not much.
Yeah. Not expensive.
I bought a whole stack of them without breaking the bank. So.
Ah, I can't tell you how many... I bought some probably 2 years ago, and I've still got most of them left.
Same problem, no one else can read them?
No. It's just that the only thing you use them for, well, the only thing I use them for is for backing up, like, the family photos, because the photos that you get on your digital camera these days are so big. Your average 4-point-whatever gig DVD blank, if you want to pop it on the shelf, is too small. You get half a dozen photos on it, so I've gone to Blu-ray.
Not to mention that everybody even shoots their home movies now in 1080p.
Do they?
Don't they?
I do. Do you, Dr. Ron?
No.
There you go. See, not everybody.
My sister does.
Really?
Yeah. Bought a little cheap camera, a cheap little video camera, records to hard disk, and 1080p, full high definition on a tiny little cheap video camera.
She'll love this week's gadget.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Okay.
The owner, if you're listening. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've had a Blu-ray. Even at work, we don't sort of tend to use them too much. We tend to make the Blu-ray files and upload them. Or HD files to Vimeo and those big file servers and things like that, because that's where most people watch their content now off things like YouTube and Vimeo.
So what's the capacity of a Blu-ray blank?
25 gig, thereabouts, in round numbers.
Yeah, 25
probably
gig single layer.
A little less.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But that gets a lot of family photos on there.
So about five times what you can cram onto a DVD or thereabouts. A little bit more.
Yeah.
It's had more.
Okay. Still, you get better value for money buying a removable hard drive, but then you're at the whim and call of magnetic fields. Whereas with optical disc, you're at the women call of stray dye. But still, it works. Make two copies of it. It's cheap. Keep one off site at the parents' house and keep one on site for you.
And chuck one in the safe and keep a working copy.
Then you've got your photos backed up indelibly. The you do go through cloud computing quite quickly if you're backing up the 5 gig on that Apple will give you or any of those guys. You'll go through that relatively quickly if you're backing up photos of any decent size these days, which is what your average 18 megapixel cameras or whatever you get these days.
Yeah, they
it's amazing.
Make big images, don't they?
Yeah, then you get the raw files.
Shutter button.
Oh, God, strike. Yes, and we're very, very quick to push that shutter button these days, Dr. Ron, too.
Yeah, because I'm not going to waste the film.
It's not as you just delete it if you don't like it.
Poor Kodak.
Well, they're gone.
Kodak. Well, those people stop worrying about deleting
the film.
Some
parts of them are gone.
Which part? Well, the film part's gone. Well, which parts of them are left is probably more the point.
Oh, there's a few bits left and a few bits that are under management, but not completely gone quite yet. But yes, they're definitely on the way out.
Yeah, that's what happened. They really didn't. They tried digital cameras for a while, but it didn't sort of kick.
They just missed. They didn't get it right at the right time, and just got left in the rush.
So even filmmakers these days are using digital because it's more cost effective, like as in videotape, high definition videotape to make films and stuff like that on file based systems. So even the old romantic 35mm film is now no longer really an option. You have to get Fujifilm and stuff like that. They still make it a little bit, but everyone's shooting digital. The red cameras, the Scarlets and all those sort of things, 4K. James Gardner is near, he'd tell us all about it, but 4K is quite a 2K is about the HD side of things, but the 4K stuff is becoming very popular out there in the filmmaking world. And now there's something that you need to back up to. There's a few Blu-rays on that one.
Oh, no. for one of those movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Ron, we've been shooting a lot on the DSLRs lately. We can go through...
On the Canons.
We can go through disk space like it's going out of fashion.
You can.
Especially when you back it up and you need a disk wrangler. File wrangler these days.
You do. On the set, don't you? Someone to manage your compact flashcards and record what's on what media.
I need to come out to your workplace and talk to you about us installing a proper SAN.
The problem is with a proper SAN is it's being out in the field. It's that you've got to get the flash card out of the camera and then start transferring that at speed. So, and you want to empty that flash card before the cameraman fill up the previous flash card. That's the problem. And then when you're doing dual records, well, there's a
That's where you've got to go out and buy the fast flash cards.
Yeah, well, we're using the 60 megabit per second, 32 gig.
And you've got to make sure you've got a fast flash card reader, and then you've got to get the external hard disk that's got the USB 3 or the eSATA, so that it's
make sure there's no weak link in the chain.
That's
somewhere
right. Yeah, the slowest thing in the chain is going to be the speed you'll run at. Yeah,
yeah.
Indeed. Mod in our chat room. That's GD. Hi GD. He says Blu-ray only 25 gig. I thought you could get dual layer ones for about 60 gig. Can you get
about 50 gig?
50.
But yeah, 50? you don't see them around too much. No.
Okay.
I did say single layer when we mentioned that 25 gig figure. Yeah.
And Craig in the chat room says he has a photo home video library about 50 gigabytes, and he uses Carbonite. I use Carbonite for backups too, Craig.
Tell us about that.
It's an online backup service. So it has there's a small application that just runs on your computer, and when your computer,
I thought that was what Han Solo was.
It was.
It was. Yeah, he was frozen in Carbonite.
Really?
Mm.
That's where they got the name from.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So how much does this cost? Is this a free service?
No, it's not free. No, they ping me, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's pretty reasonable. It's maybe a couple of dollars a month, something like that.
So you just and you have an account.
How much can you store in it?
Oh, it's. I think it's unlimited. You just keep uploading from your PC, and you pay per PC. I think you can also access.
It's a heck of a lot of data, though. I mean, to back up all of my hard disks at home, it'd be terabytes and terabytes.
It makes a little change to Windows Explorer, and it puts a little. You can turn this on or off, but it puts a little coloured dot in the icons of the files and the folders, so you can see what's backed up, and you can see like if it's something's green, that means that's safe. That hasn't changed. If something's yellow that's detected changes, it's waiting to upload. So,
but if I lose a drive if I lose a 2 terabyte hard disk, if it fails, then I've got to download that 2 terabyte down from Carbonite off the internet.
You do. Yeah, that's right. Ugh. That's right.
But there goes the bandwidth.
But the benefit is
it's bad enough at your place.
Take
the best
a year and a half, yeah. at your place, yeah.
Yeah, the benefit is it's in the cloud. I know you don't like that expression, but look, it's someone else is hosting it for you. They're taking care of it. You can also access the account from a web browser.
If they go out of business or change their policies, they send you a notice and say, in a week we're changing our policy and this, and this, and you've then only got a week to download all your content and get it off and delete it and hope they honour the deletion.
Yep, or you can do nothing. And if that's better for you, Graham, do nothing. What do you do?
Warlock's also mentioned Dropbox and Amazon S3. I'm familiar with Dropbox.
I want to hear what Graham's backup strategy is.
Okay.
Go.
Varies depending on what it is. Some things are just expendable.
Are they?
And some things
like bulletin board?
Photo library? Video library?
Yeah. Stuff that I can download again or copy again from the original source. Or
no, your photos, like your originals.
I like my original photos, yeah. Oh, they're on multiple hard disks.
Okay.
They have to be.
I've got them on my laptop and I've got them on my home computer and I've got them in Dropbox and, yeah.
So you use Dropbox?
A little bit.
Okay.
But only where it really suits.
G Plus is another option these days too. I know no one uses it.
What's that, sorry?
Google Plus.
Google Plus.
When you take your little happy snaps with your camera, it automatically uploads.
Oh, you have
your
instant upload.
And then it appears in Picasa.
That's right. Yeah, they've got the Picasa interface.
Good for happy snaps on the phone. I wouldn't do much more with it, but good for the happy snaps.
Means you can free up memory, valuable memory on your SD card in your phone.
Yeah, you need that when you root your phone and you put your new ROMs on. Need a bit of extra space. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron, Andrew McComb, Graham Callaghan in. Lena, unfortunately, is moving home this evening. So she won't be joining us, but she has promised or threatened, whichever way you want to look at it, to come in next week. So we look forward to that time when it comes. And for those of you who have just joined us, we have spoken about the iPad 3 earlier on in the show. Yes, looks
like the mythical iPad 3, which
doesn't exist yet.
May or may not exist in a few weeks.
Yeah. The iPad 2S, you don't like
more
that.
More pressure to buy an iPad, iPhone, whatever they might call one of those devices.
They've stuck to just numbers, version numbers, I think.
Have they?
Yeah.
Everyone was saying the iPhone 5 was going to come out, and they said, no, iPhone 5.
All we got was a 4S.
4S. Yeah.
And look what happened.
What happened?
I don't know.
Siri arrived. We might have an iPad with Siri.
Now, there's a thought. But it won't work unless you're in the US and you're speaking US English. You haven't caught the latest Big Bang Theory where Raj finds out.
Spoilers.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. All right.
I don't know if it's been on free to air here yet.
No, it probably hasn't. Speaking
you're
of spoilers.
Away secrets.
That's right. I think I saw it on a Channel 9 program.
That's right.
Speaking of spoilers, Big Pond, Telstra's internet branded service provider, is moving its email repository to Microsoft. So the Microsoft Live platform, where you know how you log into Microsoft Live, it seems to be, you know how that passport thing you
Graham uses it though. I think Microsoft stuff.
Kind of have to, yeah.
So if you have a Big Pond account, and there's a lot of you out there, around 4.2 million of you, then your chances are you'll be changing your password very shortly, because if you've got an average password, a non-secure password, I should say, Microsoft will force you to change it, because you've got to have 8 characters with punctuation, uppercase and lowercase in it. So if your password on Big Pond is 1234, you'll feel a pinch fairly shortly. They want to migrate everybody off that in the next few months, and all your emails will now be stored in Singapore.
Mm.
Is that good or bad? Because I think legally Telstra is required to keep it here in Australia. I think they're doing a backup. So
I don't know where my emails are stored. I have no idea.
Back here, because one of the issues you've got to look at is privacy of that particular country.
You have to look at the privacy policy of...
The privacy policy of Singapore may be somewhat different to the privacy policy here in Australia. So people accessing things like that overseas... Yeah.
You're talking not about the privacy policy, but the privacy laws in the country. Yes.
Yeah. Policy laws, yes. I take your point. So do you reckon it's going to be an issue for Telstra customers or for Telstra in general once they migrate across to the Microsoft platform?
Are you a Gmail user? Let me answer your question by asking your question. Are you a Gmail user?
Yes.
Where's your email stored?
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, I'm a Google Apps user, and yeah, I don't know where my stuff is.
I've got a clue.
It just is.
It doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you where it's stored. It doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Oh, no. Good. As long as I fulfill my own security obligations, then yeah,
yep,
I'm happy.
All my business stuff, there's a copy of everything on my own hard disks, on both my home hard disk and my laptop. My emails, I use the Outlook plugin to make sure that I've got a PST on a local disk of mine that's all up to date in case Google does go out of business, as unlikely as that seems.
Very, I think.
But, so, yeah.
Well, Big Pond users with the Windows Live option, which will be, it's probably not an option, that's probably the bad word, will now receive...
there is no option.
will now receive Australia's number one webmail service, I don't know where they get that from, Hotmail, including features such as Microsoft Office web apps, including Word, Excel and PowerPoint. I wonder if that's part of Office 15. The ability to store and share virtually unlimited amounts of photos and documents with SkyDrive. Now, I use SkyDrive. Have you used that?
No, I haven't used SkyDrive.
Yeah, that's good, except for the fact that if you're not a SkyDrive user, you have to create an account to actually get the file off. I found that the hard way.
Another account.
Oh, I know.
Can't I just log in with my Yahoo details or my MSN details or something? There's about 3 that are taking over the world, aren't there? Every time you go to a service that you used to use and you had a username and password for it, it then says... Don't worry about that now, like Flickr. They just use your Gmail credentials and we'll log you in.
Yes. Yeah, it makes me very nervous, some of that stuff.
It does.
You know what freaks me out the most?
What freaks you out?
Is when you go to a web page and you're reading an article and you get to the bottom of the article and in the comments section, there, already there on the page, is your profile picture from Facebook beside where you're going to put where they want you to write a comment.
That's right. That's right.
That freaks me out.
They've got your profile pic ready to go.
Ready to go, yeah.
Some of the stuff that... Really?
So you haven't logged. Sorry, Andrew, you haven't logged on to that site where you're reading the news article or whatever. It's just worked out.
No, that's right. Because it knows that I'm a Facebook. Yeah,
but you've got to bear in mind too that Google has face recognition software now built into applications like Picasa. So if you store your images in Picasa, or you use Picasa as your photo.
Yeah.
Referencing...
Repository.
Yes, of choice.
It knows who's in your picture.
It does face recognition now, and it actually... I now have a section in my Picasa of Dr. Ron, and every photo that Dr. Ron's been in just gets indexed now
Without me having to do anything.
Yeah. So what you're seeing is probably the global version of that. The other thing which I find absolutely amazing too is where some of these photos come from. Now, I know that, for example, certain Facebook people change their photos and then delete their accounts, but yet those photos are still in existence. And when you create a Google account or something, it's pulled in an old Facebook photo from way back. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not, but yes, it's just strange where these organisations get photos for you from. Some can be quite embarrassing too.
Georgia in our chat room says, that freaks me out too, GC.
Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
And Warlock says, I used Windows Live Mesh until I merged it with SkyDrive and deleted my data.
Oh, that's handy.
That wasn't a merge, that was a...
See, now that's the scary part of cloud computing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You're trusting people to look after your
that's
files.
Why I've got local copies of the business stuff.
That's like Graham's saying.
Just in case.
Keep stuff locally, just in case.
So, well, is that a point for businesses here in Australia? If they're trusting
Absolutely.
Microsoft's email and they move it overseas and you're on a Microsoft server and they decide to give you a new facility and it deletes all your mail, who's liable?
Oh, yeah, there's certainly two types of businesses. There's the one type that will say, let's use Google Apps because it's cheap and it's all hosted for us and it's all done, or a Windows-hosted service or whatever it might happen to be. And there's the other type that says, hang on a minute, this is our data. This is our stuff. We've got to have control of it. And the auditors come in and they say, well, where's that being stored? And if you can't say it's being stored on that server there and it's being backed up to stuff that's stored in that building over there, then they say, you know, it's not good enough for them. And that's, you know, that's why there's still businesses out there that run their own exchange servers and run their own storage servers and so on. It's because, yeah, for some businesses, those implications are just too severe. They've got to keep control of it themselves.
If you want to maintain standards accreditation for some organisations.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
You need to be able to...
If you've got to live up to a privacy policy that's, you know, more stringent than, you know, the laws of Singapore, yeah.
According to the Wall Street Journal, Google is near the launch of its new cloud storage service. Surprise, surprise. It's going to rival Silicon Valley's hottest startup's cloud storage provider, Dropbox Inc., according to people familiar with this new service. Like Dropbox, Google's storage service called Drive, there's an interesting name, isn't it? They've just dropped the I in front of it, is a response to the growth of the internet-connected mobile devices like smartphones and tablets and the rise and rise of cloud computing. So everyone's getting in on the act. Although I would have assumed that Google, as you were alluding to before, Graham, with Gmail, already had a lot of that facilities in place. But obviously, with the Mac version of their new operating system on their iGadgets, that automatically, you know, when you install that OS, it says, do you want to use the cloud? Yes, no. And everyone goes, yes.
Mm.
This is the same option that's going to probably be coming in Android in the next flavor too. Do you want to use the cloud or Drive in this case? And you go, yes, and you won't think twice about it until you get big data bills.
Did you say back up the cloud before?
Did I?
Yeah, you might have. Warlock's just pointing that out.
Thank you. That's what happens in the chat.
Yes, come and join us. chat.techtalkradio.com.au. That's where we all are if you're listening live.
That's like what I always have a chuckle to myself when customers ring me up and say, the internet's down.
The internet's down.
And my first response is always to say, what, all of it?
If the internet's down, I can't. I'm not the person to be speaking to.
I can't help. No, you'll have to speak to someone higher up than me.
Dear. Copyright's a big issue in Australia at the moment too, what with what you mentioned on the news there this evening, Graham. Graham, says he, pointing at Dr. Ron. Dr. Ron? See, I'm all a fluster now.
I didn't mention anything in the news.
No, you didn't, but Dr. Ron did.
I'll tell you about why copyright's dead in Australia, if you like.
All right, off you go then.
Well, the first reason is Channel 7, the second reason is Channel 9, third reason is Channel 10, fourth reason is the ABC, and the fifth reason almost is SBS. SBS is the only one who's doing slightly better.
Okay. Copyright in Australia is certainly a contentious issue. The AFL and the NRL are big players in sporting events, and they own their rights to their sport, like everyone owns rights to their performances. We even own the rights to this performance,
we
don't
do.
We, Dr. Ron?
And how would we feel if Optus said, we're going to provide a service which records live all free-to-air radio and community radio, and if you want to go to a website and say, yeah, record that program and play it back later, and people went to Optus Radio Now, brackets, trademark brackets, it's just a product name I invented, and decided to listen to Tech Talk Radio, how would we collectively feel about that?
pretty chuffed, I would have thought.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah.
I think it's more exposure for the program. It provides another interface that listeners can use, and it makes the program more accessible.
But, yeah, but to be fair, we're not in the same position as the AFL.
No,
we're
in
not.
A market that's You're saturated right. with those sort of big players.
You're right, we're not making money out of this program in the same way as a commercial.
As the same way as the AFL tries to make money out of football.
Yeah.
See, but we also have a clue, which also differentiates us from the AFL.
Well, see, apart from the directors of the AFL...
Andrew Dimitri just took him off his Christmas card list.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cheerio, Andrew.
Despite Graham being deleted from
Andrew Dimitri's Christmas card list.
The AFL, and also excluding the directors, is probably a non-for-profit organisation. That is, the money that they earn from gate takings and all the sponsorship goes back to the clubs, which... at the face of it, is a good thing.
None of that I've got a problem with at all.
So when the rights are diluted, like Telstra paid big bucks for their internet rights, when it gets diluted...
Have you been got at?
No.
No, keep going. He's just presenting both sides of the argument.
Yep. Is he? All right, go on. Yeah.
Settle. When everything gets a little bit diluted,
yes.
I guess... and Telstra pay big bucks for rights, they would probably get their nose out of joint because how come their opposition can play the same content 90 seconds later?
Almost live. Near live is the expression that's been invented.
So it's sort of opening up a can of worms, which we're going to see litigation right through our legal system. And the government today announced that it was having a bit of a look into the new modern technologies and seeing whether it should legislate to protect rights holders from this type of, which is only new. This is new technology being enable us to do this sort of stuff. But
the government have announced this under pressure from big business interests such as the AFL and the NRL.
Well, this is my question. Why is the government getting involved?
Can I add something?
A naive question.
Did you hear the phrase under pressure from big business such as the AFL and NRL?
Yes, but
did you hear that phrase?
I heard that.
Good.
I heard
just
that.
Just checking. Thought there might have been something wrong with your headphones there.
But
something wrong with mine.
But why? There are. Why isn't the government in the business of running the country? Why is it getting involved in what is essentially a commercial dispute that's going to be sorted out by the courts anyway?
Good question.
I can answer that because Optus is the top political donation list to the current government.
Yeah,
now, there's your conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and it's really sad if it's come to that, isn't
it? Well, I hope it hasn't. I really do. But, today, or actually I think it was yesterday, the University of Technology Sydney Dean of Law, Professor Jill McKeough, will lead the Australian Law Reform Commission review into the option of copyright in the digital environment. So they're going to look at all options for copyright and they're going to come back and say, I think we need to change this because, and this is all this new technology which is going leaps and bounds faster than what the guys are signing up for
with their big
trade agreements, like the Telstras of the world saying, we want 5 years of internet rights. Well, yeah, okay.
Imagine the sort of stuff we'll be doing in 5 years' time.
I can't. That's the problem. And the AFL can't even imagine what we were doing 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The AFL still think that they can write their rights agreements as if we still lived in a pre-internet age, as if the internet is a whole new separate thing that's not part of the real world.
So do you think, like we have geospatial censorship... That is that, you know, when the cricket's on...
Depending on where you are
in Australia,
in the world.
They delete it from the online services and you get...
Yeah, that's
local.
Another example of the same stupid thinking.
Well, do
the
you think...
The same wrong thinking.
Do you think that same wrong thinking ought to be applied to same market rebroadcasting or there needs to be a time limitation put in place to protect the rights holders so that at least Telstra would get the first 90 minutes or hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it is of the game, then... It can be redistributed on others, as in delayed, store and delay type sort of technology.
Nonsense.
Why?
Nonsense. If I want to record it on my PVR and chase play it 90 seconds later, that should be my... That's part of the rights that the law of the land gives me that right.
Yeah, I know. PVR is not the issue here.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's the problem is it's the major telcos... Re-streaming content, regardless of whose content it is,
the Optus service is nothing more than a PVR that isn't in a physical box.
No, I agree with you.
Do you think that something's not real just because there isn't a physical metal box sitting on your table next to your television?
No.
Then...
No, but I'm looking at the content. I'm not looking at the method of storing and forwarding. Because the bottom line is we're going to lose a lot of our big things in this country if we don't take a good look at how rights can be protected.
No. That's looking at things in the wrong way. We're going to lose these things if we don't have the people running them start treating the world as it is instead of how they'd like it to be.
How it is as opposed to how they'd like it to be. Well,
the AFL would like
how
for
it is
all
is
the new technology that's around in the world to allow them to continue to run things the way they ran them when all they had to deal with was TV and radio stations that had a limited, by the natural forces of physics, had a limited geographical reach. They want to continue that into the future with new technologies as if the new technologies don't change anything.
How it is that the Telstra sponsor the AFL. The way it will be is Telstra will not sponsor the AFL.
It's not a sponsorship.
It's a sponsorship. It's their revenue streams that are in jeopardy.
Yeah, and they what
how it is not how it will be the next time the sponsorship rounds come up, and that applies to everything from sporting through to music through to everything. If their rights are diluted.
It's not about diluting rights. It's about assigning the rights and selling the rights in a way that matches the way the real world works, not how they would like the world to work.
But the real world works by money.
Yeah, and the internet works by having the same content everywhere.
But they'll protect their interest based on money, not based on the internet. The internet's just a medium and a carrier.
What they've got to learn is the same thing the music industry learned, is how to make money in the new environment, in the way the world works now. You can't keep running the music industry as if everything depends on how many 45 RPM vinyl singles you sell. That's not, you know,
I agree with you.
That's not the way that industry works anymore. The same thing's got to happen to other industries like the sporting content providers, like the AFL.
Correct. And if you want to look at that music industry,
they've got to learn to run their business in accordance with the way the world works now.
Yeah, and if you want to look at what happened to the music industry, look at all the quality musicians we currently have at the moment. Compared to what we used to have,
is that going down noticeably? Have I missed something?
Yeah, I would have thought. And if you speak to your average, you know, high class muser, they don't like doing it anymore. They'd rather go back the old way. But as you say, they're being forced into the new millennium, into the new ways of distributing technology, and as a result, they choose not to.
The AFL should do a deal with Apple.
There's a thought.
And get live streaming and stuff available on iTunes.
No. Again, that's the wrong way to look at it.
Is it?
It's... because... look, I don't know.
chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Ming says, go Graham in the chat.
I've just run out of... I can't argue with both of you now.
We're just offering alternative opinions, Graham. Obviously,
yes,
there are two sides to the argument.
Yeah, there's a tech side and there's a money side, and really that's what
absolutely.
We're trying to highlight. And I think,
yeah. All right. I just think that the money side in the long term, and even in the medium term, is going to make more money by understanding the tech side.
And I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
I totally agree with you. But in the short term, it's not going to happen. The Telstra, why would you pay 150, I can't remember the exact money, but $150 million I think was touted.
Something like that, yeah.
Why would you do that if you're going to if that's going to be undermined? No business model in their right mind would do that.
Yeah, but Graham's right. They can't ignore technology, and you can't outlaw technology because it doesn't protect someone's commercial interest.
This is where the government needs to look at the copyright laws and say, well, things need to change. And how are we going to change them? Well, that's what's up in
the
air.
And if the AFL can find a way, I don't know what the solution is. I'm not Andrew Dimitri. I'm not running this thing.
But they can't find a solution either.
But they could if they really put their, yeah, put their minds to it. These are people who are very smart people who can figure things out, who can make a lot of money in the right circumstances. If they start running the business and working out a way to sell rights that works the way the internet works and that works the way the new technologies work, if they understand that when you sell the broadcast rights that people are also going to watch that broadcast using technologies like PVRs and Optus TV, whatever it is.
Yeah, TV Now.
TV
yeah.
Now. Then... the sooner they acknowledge that, factor that into their thinking and move on to, okay, if we put the stream up so that anybody can subscribe to the stream and buy the content, they don't have to be on the Vodafone network and they don't have to be on the Telstra network and they don't have to have an iPhone to view it or whatever it might happen to be.
I think the issue
then
here...
they will find that
people will do it. If they make it an app that you can download on any or a website that you can sign up to view any AFL game.
I agree with you.
And you can view it on your TV or on your iPhone or on your Android phone or on your whatever it happens to be just by signing into a website, then maybe they'd be better off.
I sort of agree with what Graham's saying. I think he highlighted earlier on in the evening that what's the difference between the Optus Cloud and a PVR, to which the answer is absolutely nothing.
Well, the Optus Cloud is a PVR.
The only difference is that there's not a physical metal box sitting on your shelf.
Yeah, but the outcome is the same. You can store and delay and record stuff.
Yeah.
The issue may
which
be...
Which has been a right that's always been protected in this country, and what this uproar is threatening.
The issue, I think, stems from the fact here, in this instance, that we have rivals providing the service, and that service is provided by signing up to the rival's carrier.
And that's why there are laws of the land. There are laws that protect the rights of the consumer to be allowed to record and time shift programs. We're allowed to time shift.
No, there's two camps.
And we're allowed to format shift any content, provided we don't break encryption. Now, that provided we don't break encryption is bad law and should be gone. Okay, it's not there in other countries. It's something we have in Australia that we shouldn't have. We should be allowed to time shift and format shift for personal use using whatever technology is available.
I think that's pretty much the case as it is.
It's not the case because we're not allowed to, say, format shift our DVDs that are encrypted.
No, that's true. But you can actually make a backup copy of anything for personal use, providing you don't break the encryption.
Which means you can't format shift your DVDs and you can't format shift your Blu-rays.
Unless your browser or your DVD player doesn't support encryption.
No, that's not the way the law works. The law says that there's encryption on the disk, so you're not allowed to defeat that encryption.
Okay, because I found a lot of disks recently that don't actually have it. Most of the major features do, but there's a lot of disks out there that don't have it. It's quite an expensive thing to put
don't
on the disk.
Don't confuse encryption with region encoding too. That's all right, good.
It's not the CSS or CCS or whatever.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Anyway, the bottom line is, and we probably shouldn't drag this on for too much longer, I think
we've come around to an agreement.
The issue needs to be looked at is more the branding, more the content itself, and people need to look at, or when I say people, those who own the rights need to look at their distribution paths and the contracts that they put in with their distribution partners, and whether or not the law comes around and says, well, Telstra is this, Optus is that, Channel 7 is this, however you choose to get it, in that medium, there might be delay rules. Maybe that's the solution.
Yeah, except...
So if you want to store and forward off Channel 7, go for your life, because there's no one in there. But the competition to Telstra is Optus, so therefore they're not going to let you store and forward on that, because...
And then you're making different law for different technology for no good reason.
Well, I think it might be for good reason.
No,
to protect the right holders.
And that's the real danger. That's the danger. And the way you're thinking now erodes our rights. It takes a right away from the consumer that we've had in law to protect.
No, it doesn't. It's still recorded on the PVR on Channel 7.
Yeah, but it means that it means we can only. What it'll effectively mean is that we can only record on a PVR if the PVR is a particular type of technology.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I'm ten minutes late home from work, and I want to start watching the match. I've got to wait another 20 minutes before I'm allowed to start watching it on Optus.
And how far is that going to creep?
Mm.
When Optus have got the rights to the TV, will I not be able to record it on my Foxtel branded IQ PVR?
Let's just say it's a minefield.
and that's why the law shouldn't be changed. The law's there to protect us.
And this is exactly what consumer rights groups are saying as well. People like Choice and Electronic Frontiers Australia, they're saying that any legislative change is going to swing everything back towards private companies and rights holders. Consumers are going to lose out.
And that's why this is such an important argument. It's not about football, and it's not about the NRL or the AFL.
No, it's a much... It's a much
it'll grow and grow. And it'll mean that, where's the line going to be drawn? If you've got a... if you have a different law for a PVR that's in the cloud as opposed to one that's in a physical box in your lounge room, what if it's half and half? What if you got a PVR that's a physical box in your lounge room with a hard disk, but you're controlling it through an interface that's in the cloud? Now, which law applies, Andrew?
The law of common sense.
The law of common sense went out the window with this AFL NRL furor.
I'm hearing you, Gareth.
The law of common sense went.
The appeal in the federal court's been scheduled for the 18th of April, so we'll be
doing this again on the 18th.
Putting that date
absolutely
in our diaries.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. As Gareth said, time for a song. Here it is.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Google has opted out of Germany now.
But that's not the whole problem.
Lino, help us. You need to come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah, what do you want? I can't deal with this now.
Absolutely.
That's very wrong.
It was very rude.
And obviously pretty good on the batteries too.
Not happy, Jan.
Oh, well. You have nothing here which does not have an Apple on it.
That's the way I like it.
Couldn't even tell her whether you were male or female.
No. Frankly, no.
Have you worked out the five-finger fondle yet?
I hate toolbars on browsers.
Yes.
That really drives me insane.
Yes.
That lacks couth as well.
That lacks complete couth.
Graham took umbrage during the week with a ranking system that I developed on the forum.
Should have known that was coming.
A good cabler is worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Mm. Let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Yay.
Oh, Apple scandal.
Yeah. That's when I got out. They pulled me back in.
Entertaining.
They post some lolcats.
No, they haven't posted any lolcats yet that I've seen.
Informative.
At some point, litigation must come to an end.
Exactly.
Independent.
I'm not queuing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Sorry, we're back. And you thought we weren't coming back. Anyway, welcome back.
Everyone's heart stopped for a moment then.
What's happened?
They're out in the car park, fisticuffs.
There's no one running the radio station. Oh, well, that's what happens. All right, that was interesting. We all now had a nice drink and back in the studio. And we should talk about other things, shouldn't we? Because I'm sure that topic will come back to haunt us as it works its way through courtrooms.
On the appeal date.
Correct.
Oh, we haven't heard the last of it, that's
No. It's just on the humorous side of things at the moment, on the conscious side of things, I don't know what you'd like to call this. This went across my desk. I think, you know, the one of those things you sort of glance at and you go, no, you're kidding me, when it goes past. Anyway, this is one of those.
Right.
An Australian thief turned himself in with a stolen mobile phone containing some nasty pictures of kitties.
Yeah, I heard about this in mainstream media.
This happened in Ballarat.
That's right.
A small country town sort of up the road here from where we are in Melbourne.
Yep. He went to the police station and said, look.
Now, he nicked a phone. Go back further. He was doing the dishonourable thing that crooks do, opportunistically grabbed a phone of someone's that didn't belong to him. He discovered that on that phone was something that shouldn't have been on that phone. And as a result, he had a conscience. He went and turned himself into police. And as a result, the person whose phone it was subsequently charged. And anyway, the law dealt with him. And then the magistrate took a kind... This is quite funny. Do you want to tell?
No, keep going. You've got it in front of you.
Yes, the man whose name was suppressed by the court was later presented at the Ballarat police station saying he was in possession of a memory card which had the naughty images on it. And the magistrate said, well, we can't really punish you too much in respect to the fact that what you've done was good, but on the other hand, you've got to have a little bit, so... He got off quite lightly, but this guy had a lot of priors for other interesting things too, like speeding and running people over and stuff like that. So, nonetheless, some crooks have morals, and that's the story of that one, which I thought, wow.
Honour amongst thieves is
exactly
the expression.
Apparently so. I thought that when I read the headline, and I hadn't read the story in advance because I don't do my homework on this show.
We know.
I thought this was going to just be one of these stupid human tricks that he had, that it was someone who was just so stupid that he reported his phone stolen despite the fact that he had dirty pictures on it.
Oh, right.
And got caught for that way. But no,
thief with a conscience.
Yeah, and yeah, I think magistrate's probably on the right track. I think he's to be applauded if he chose to do the right thing, even though he's chosen at other times in his life to do the wrong thing. I think that's... That's good. That's a good story.
The other thing that got my attention was the fact that that story made it globally around the world.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. It was on the BBC. It was in the US. It just kept popping up on all sorts of strange things with Google searches and stuff like that. So
I'm not sure whether this is a particularly Australian attitude, but we do have this concept where there's some laws that it's okay to break and there's some laws that it's okay to break a little bit, but there's definitely a line. Yeah, we all used to speed a lot more than we do now. even though it's still just as illegal to speed now as it always has been. Yeah, we all occasionally copy the odd DVD. A lot of people have downloaded the odd music track.
It's the Royal Wii he's using.
He is.
No, he's right. No, of course.
Well, anyone
right.
who's got a broadband plan in excess of 20 gig a month is obviously... What are you doing with all that?
Downloaded exactly. something, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, I've hit my 150 gigabytes a month again. Damn.
But there comes a point where
You apply. You look at the law, and then you apply the common sense law.
You apply common sense on top of that,
and you say,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
And this bloke, yeah, no, I don't agree with anyone stealing a mobile phone under any circumstances, but... His point where he tips over from doing the wrong thing to doing the right thing is obviously in a very different place than mine is.
But it's clear he doesn't have a tipping point.
It's there somewhere, yeah. Mm. And I just find that interesting from a human behaviour point of view.
It is.
I think that's great.
It is an interesting human behaviour story.
Yeah.
I just let everyone know that I'm no longer on the chat because my batteries have died.
Your batteries in what?
My little netbook here.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you need power?
I forgot to charge. It's been running for 2 weeks. It's been...
Have you got a power supply? I'll plug it in for you.
Oh, it's only got 10 minutes to
go. He hasn't seen it for 2 weeks.
No. Oh. Not since the last show. In fact, it's lasted 2 Tech Talk radios, and it's died just 10 minutes before.
Andrew, quit the chat room.
Yeah, there you go.
It says here.
Yeah.
You need a reason code put in there before it's just the system shutting down.
It warned me about 5 minutes ago to plug a power supply in straight away, but I selectively ignored it.
You were too busy wrestling with Graham out in the car park.
Correct. Now I'm paying the price. Steve Jobs' FBI file got released during the course of the Wheel 2.
What's all that about?
I have no idea, but the FBI has...
They don't have a 30-year rule in the US, do they?
No, unlike here where you got your government secrets can stay in the locked filing cabinet for 30 years before it comes out in public. That's right.
So someone done the US equivalent of an FOI request,
well, maybe,
have they? On
maybe
the FBI?
They have different laws for people who are deceased. Maybe once you've, you know...
Oh, they have different laws for all sorts of things over there.
Whitney Houston will be out there very shortly too. But anyway, the FBI has released and posted on its website Steve Jobs' 191-page FBI file.
Posted on its website?
Yeah.
That's extraordinary. Can you imagine a government agency doing that here?
Yeah, that just wouldn't happen. But that's so American, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you know, the police release crime scene photographs and all sorts of stuff.
Do they?
Yeah. It's a weird place.
What's
America.
The URL? FBI.gov?
Well, it depends on whose jurisdiction the crime scene was.
Oh, I guess so. The file consists of a 1,991 background investigation conducted that's supposed to be 1991 background investigation conducted when Jobs was being considered for an appointment to the President's Export Council in the Bush White House regime.
Mm.
So there you go. And also there's records of a 1985 bomb threat against him. Really? I thought he had more than back then. But anyway, you can go read all about it. If you want, on the FBI website.
Yeah, because just because the FBI had a file on him doesn't mean he was necessarily being investigated. He might have been a victim of something.
Well, you might have been being investigated without having ever... Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They came to the conclusion that, because the FBI summed everybody up, that he was a deceptive individual.
Oh, that's their words. Who came to that conclusion?
The FBI, on the front page of their filing system. So
he was a deceptive individual?
Apparently. Go and read all about it. But yes, it was noteworthy for no other reason, for the reason that Graham reacted there and said, really? So it was one of those gee whiz sort of things. Oh. In other news this week, Telstra, excuse me, served up quite a few, you know those little 4G dongle-y things that you can now buy that go into your netbook or your MacBook or whatever it is like that to connect you to the internet.
So the USB
dongle
things?
Yeah, the USB mobile internet dongle things.
And they give your netbook or your laptop access to the mobile phone data network.
Yep. Now, the new fourth generation or LTE, long-term evolution networks, which Telstra are rolling out through basically city centres only at the moment. Telstra have sold 100,000 of these little duvalicky watsits.
Duvalickies.
Yep. Since the network was commissioned. Now,
how many?
100,000 LTE 4G dongles.
Little USB modems.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is a lot. The dongles sold...
I don't like this word dongle, by the way.
No. Why?
It's a USB modem.
It is, but it looks like a dongle. See, dongles are pretty obsolete. We don't use dongles anymore.
No, dongle's a specific thing that
it
we
is,
don't
yes.
use. Oh, we still use
it. It's one of those terms that everybody misuses.
Yeah. It's a hardware key. that plugs into your
a hardware
activates
lock.
Your software in your computer.
Unless you have a unique hardware lock, the physical thing plugged into your computer, then a certain piece of software won't work. That's a dongle.
Anyway, the dongles sold between the 27th of December and the 31st of December, sorry, September to December, account for approximately a quarter of the new 436,000 new mobile broadband services added to Telstra's network during the first half of the financial year.
Are they still only selling them to business users?
I don't know. So were they? You could walk into a shop and buy one, I thought. I saw them there. I never tried.
They were at one point only for business users.
The only downside is that there's no... You know the little wireless access points? I've got one which is for 3G. There's no 4G one yet on Telstra because everyone else in the world uses different frequencies than what Telstra does here for 4G. So nothing works. We have to have something specially built for it. So
We still haven't learned that lesson. Been going since colour TV came out.
It has. Let me
been
put this
going since
away,
FM radio.
In other other news this week, you can put your conspiracy cap on now. Google looks like it's coming to the table for the 700 meg spectrum auctions. Why, one might ask.
700 megahertz. That's the radio spectrum.
Now, this is the new mobile phone spectrum, which the Australian Communications and Media Authority is going to put up for auction. Very shortly. And there's a fourth bidder come into the realm.
But we don't know who the fourth bidder
is. You know when you go to the auction house? Oh, we do. You know when you go to the auction house and you register, but you might not bid?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that person who registered is Google.
So Google has registered.
Yeah.
But we don't know if they're going to bid or not.
Apparently.
Of course, the obvious implication from this news is that Google could become a mobile provider.
Well, you know the other, there's four registered and there's three telcos in this country that buy that. Telstra, Optus and Vodafone.
And
and the fourth one?
They may not necessarily... I mean, if they were to bid and to buy spectrum, they mightn't necessarily use it for voice. They might create a big data network or they might lease it to other people.
Speculate all you like.
I'm sorry. I seem to have missed something here. This is surprising that Google are interested in what's going on in the mobile telephone market.
I think it's surprising that Google wants to become a carrier.
Nobody said that. They've just registered to...
What would you be buying spectrum for? If you didn't want to use it to carry
signals.
They're not.
You said they hadn't bid.
No, they've just registered. Well, the auctions haven't been yet.
They've registered
no one's
an
bid
interest.
Yet.
An interest. That's why I said put your conspiracy hat on.
Maybe they just want a seat at the table to see what's going on.
Oh, they could too. Buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. There's another theory. Yeah, they could just want to rock up and say, "G'day, Mr. Thody. How you going?"
Maybe
my name's Eric.
Keep everyone on their toes.
Exactly. It's Eric. Maybe they want to buy it and sell it on to somebody. Maybe they want to use it for.
They might or lease it to manufacturers who are making Android powered phones.
Exactly. Could be anything.
All right. In other gossip too.
When's the auction, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know.
Have a quick look at your media release.
I don't know whether I've got.
Doesn't say.
No. No. Right. Sorry.
We'll revisit that when it happens.
It will. It's just speculation, scuttlebutt, and something to get the conspiracy hats onto. And finally tonight, Apple to dispute... No, they're not disputing anything. Apple to disrupt notebook space with radically designed MacBook Pros.
Yawn.
There's a new MacBook Pro coming out, everybody.
Yawn.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I'll put that away.
Apple think every new announcement they make is a game changer.
While most of its rivals are struggling to match innovations, Apple's pioneered with its first MacBook Airs, and they are great. Have you used a MacBook Air, by the way? Graham? Says he looking at Graham. It doesn't work on radio.
Yeah, possibly once or twice, maybe.
They're an amazing device. They boot up incredibly quickly. They're very lightweight. They're great in the jungle juice. They have no drives in them or anything like that.
All I would have done would have been to go into the wireless settings for some customer to connect them to a network or something like that.
Yeah. They're very nice. They're well built. They are so well built, those machines.
I'm not challenging that at all.
Yep. Anyway, new one of those coming out very shortly. So, who knows? Maybe it's time to... In fact, I had a client the other day who came into one of the edit suites at work and he had a Apple MacBook, but you boot it up and there was Windows, Windows 7.
Yeah, well, but yeah, that might be part of the point. It's just a well-built
computer
in general. I like
the guy, he was good. Yeah, he just, anyway. All right, this is Tech Talk Radio. It's been an interesting night tonight. We'll come back with more interestingness. I know I've got a rough idea of what's coming up, but all I can say is that we've got the Odd Spot gadget, the application...
And the website.
The website of the week, very shortly.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Adobe's going to stop doing Flash. That's pretty good.
What links would you go to watch free-to-air television?
Not me.
I was at GCAP, which is the Game Connect Asia Pacific conference.
I told you it was GC something.
It's exciting times, isn't it?
The ACCC doesn't do anything either, to be fair.
And Andrew's just grimaced because he's one of those web designers that thinks that he should have control over everything about the way a website looks.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
The GoPro HD Hero 2 is a professional high-definition video camera designed for sports people to strap to themselves while they're riding trail bikes and...
And they do.
Jumping from aeroplanes and whitewater rafting and cross-country skiing and all that sort of good stuff. It'll do 1080p or 960p or 720p or WVGA, a range of frames per second settings, 11 megapixel photographs at 10 photos a second, and that you can change the field of view so you can have 170 degrees or 127 or 90 degree field of view. To start recording, you just press the movie mode button and you press go. And once you're rolling, the camera beeps and the little LED flashes to let you know it's all good. It's got a 1,100 milliamp hour battery for up to 2.5 hours of recording. About $300 US. That's
They're
pretty good,
cheap, aren't they? Everyone uses them these days. They're called GoPros. Kids love them.
Good quality,
cinematographers
Andrew?
Love them.
Good quality HD?
Nah.
No.
It's compressed.
Okay.
But it's nonetheless... By the time it gets graded and sped out, people do know the difference.
Do you know if it takes like an...
Reasonable quality HD, unless you're Andrew McComb.
SD card or compact flash card? What does it write to, do you know?
Yes, not a compact flash card. The small ones, the small SD type sort of
little
cards.
Little micro SD sort of card.
Yeah, they've got to be a special card too. You just be sure, don't buy any card because sometimes they can't write fast enough.
For more information, go to GoPro.com. It's a gadget, Andrew, the GoPro HD Hero 2.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
www.360vr.com. This website produces high-quality panoramic images for use in print and panoramic virtual tour production. I reckon this is a nifty website. The images are 360-degree panoramas captured using rotational cameras with ultra-wide-angle lenses. Examples include, on the website, include Times Square in New York City on New Year's Eve, the National Center of Performing Arts in Beijing, and my favorite, this is my extra special favorite, a 3D panoramic view of the Space Shuttle Discovery's flight deck.
Oh, wow.
It's really cool. You can click and drag your mouse to pan around, and you can use the scroll wheel on your mouse to zoom in and out.
Wow.
It's worth a look.
Cool.
Hours of fun for the whole family. That's the website, Andrew, 360vr.com. Woohoo!
Tech Talk Radio, App of the Week.
From Renegade Fruit Loop, Andrew's going to tell us all about llamas.
Llamas. Yes, this was really good. I was reading Renegade's email when it came in the other day, and I must admit, I like getting emails from people who suggest apps because traditionally they've used them, they put them through the hoops, Fruit Loops in these cases.
Andrew.
And really good. I've used it now. Now, Llama is basically a location-aware application which will turn your phone into anything that you need it to do based on where you're connected. Now, it's not GPS-based. It's based on the cellular location. So, for example, we're in a radio station at the moment. I tend to frequent a few of those. So, I've got locations set as radio stations. And when I walk into them, like either here or at the ABC, it turns my phone into silent mode without me even having to think about it. And when I leave... it turns it back into normal mode. Now, how cute is that? You can do it at home. It drops the volume down for you so that at 10 o'clock in the evening, instead of waking the whole family up when someone rings, it only wakes you up, which is quite handy. An SMS, and you can turn apps off with it, turn apps on with it, all based on your location where you are. And I think it's fantastic.
So the Fruit Loop says, in effect, it's tying event triggers to nearby cell IDs.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes good sense. So whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're at... wherever you might happen to be, you can turn on and off things as you see fit and adjust levels. That's a great idea and a very good app.
I like that.
Llama on the Android website. I don't know whether there's a Mac one, but there's definitely the Google one.
Location-aware mobile app is where they get Llama from.
Location-aware mobile... oh, okay. That tells me.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
Because there was another company that used to have a Llama fixation, wasn't there? It was Winamp.
Yeah, Winamp had llamas. Yeah, that's right. And Monty Python before that. Ralph the Wonder Llama.
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes. All right, so there you go. That's the app of the week, Llamas. Check out your Llamas at your app store now.
Thanks, Renegade.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bon.
German bomb.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
In New Delhi, three Indian politicians have resigned after being caught watching pornography on a mobile phone during a sitting of state parliament.
Really? Is that what they do?
Yeah, except it wasn't.
The only difference between their parliament and our parliament is that they got caught.
What do you know, Graham? Do you know more?
Well, read on.
News channels broadcast footage showing a minister sharing a porn clip with a colleague.
You're kidding, really?
Coincidentally, the Minister for Women and Child Development while sitting in State Assembly. The owner of the phone, the State Minister for Ports, Science and Technology, also quit. The three politicians said they did not want to cause any embarrassment for their Hindu Nationalist Party, which rules the state and is in opposition at a national level. The former Federal Minister for Women's Development, Renuka Chowdhury, said it is really troubling that people who are in positions of power and have the responsibility to change things actually have the same mindset and are busy watching porn.
As well, he wasn't in Ballarat.
So you haven't got the part of the story where what they were watching was actually research on a topic that was coming up for debate in Parliament later that day.
And there's nothing to that effect whatsoever, Graham.
No, it's interesting how that part gets left out of the story to make it sound more interesting.
What source did you get that from?
Good question. I'll have to look it up.
I think I heard it on a radio report
about this exact same topic.
Oh, this is word for word from The Age.
Oh, there you go.
I would have included that if I'd known that.
Send me
a link.
That's what I heard on the radio, but I'm not sure which radio network it was.
We gotta go, guys.
Sorry.
That's our Odd Spot. Andrew.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you, Linesman. Thank you, Ball Boys. Till we do it all again next week with a squeaky one, it's bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.